Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. This hour, we are spending the only time we're going to actually talk about this topic because I don't want it to dominate it because it's controversial in its own nature, and I don't want to add more fuel to the fire that's already happening. But we are talking about the Netflix Dahmer series that has premiered September 21st, and in basically a little over a week, already has 196 million viewing hours. It's probably even higher than that since when I got that number, I'm not sure which date that article was on. And we thought instead of just us going back and forth and is it right? Is it wrong? Should this have been left alone? We wanted to bring on the professor of psychology and anger researcher at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, Dr. Ryan Martin, to talk to us more about why we enjoy watching such horrific things, whether they're fake or real. So welcome to the show. Welcome back, since this is your second time.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. I'm excited to talk about this with you.
So why do we do this?
It's a great question.
What's wrong with us?
It really kind of runs contrary to what we expect or often think about with human beings. And this isn't the only example of this. We tend to think of human beings embracing sort of a hedonistic approach to emotions, right? That we seek out pleasure and we avoid discomfort, and that is how we expect people to operate. But ultimately, we know that's not true, and there's actually lots of examples of this, that human beings will embrace unpleasant emotions under various circumstances and will willingly invite unpleasant emotions under various circumstances. And we see it with people who like, obviously horror movies and things like that, but haunted houses, thrill rides, et cetera, right? People willingly invite things into their life that are scary, upsetting, anger-inducing, make them cry, whatever. So then the question becomes, well, why? Why on earth would we do that? What is the upside? And there's really a couple different possibilities that are all probably relevant. One is that some people might simply not find it upsetting, right? And that I think is probably the most troubling of the explanations, the idea that you wouldn't find this upsetting. There's good reason why some people might not find some of this upsetting under certain circumstances that we can unpack as we go here. That's one possibility. Two is maybe another conflicting emotion that encourages people to do it. So sometimes, in some cases, that's happiness, that's joy. And we see that with a lot of, maybe not with Dahmer, but with a lot of horror movies, that people, they're experiencing enthusiasm, they're experiencing a lot of joy as they're also experiencing fear and terror. And then this is, I think, the one that is really relevant here is curiosity. Curiosity is a fascinating emotional experience because you see that it is brought out of people when you expose them to gaps in their knowledge. And so just simply by making it clear to someone that they don't know something that you know, you can motivate curiosity in them. So what happens with a show like this is that as the whole world is watching it, which you alluded to before, it's people start to feel like they're part of an outgroup. It's like, why am I the only one not watching this? All of these other people know something or have seen something that I haven't seen. And so they get drawn into it for that reason. And then I think the third piece is a lot of people, and this is going to overlap, but this is the thing that I talked to my students about yesterday, is that it is worth it to them to experience these negative emotions because they get something out of it in the end, that they actually benefit from it or gain something from it. And so when I asked people about this, they said, I want to learn how to avoid things like that in my life. I'm scared and this is teaching me how to avoid stuff. Some people just said, they're interested. I mean, these are psychology students. They're interested in the psychology behind it, what might have been driving him. I think there's a piece that for some people that's about credibility. You know, it's like what I get from this is I get to tell people I saw it.
We're talking to Ryan Martin, who is a professor of psychology and anger researcher at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, about the new Netflix series, Dahmer. So you asked so you guys had a lecture or a conversation about this yesterday? How did it go?
It was great. So I teach a course on mental illness, and we were talking actually about phobias yesterday and fear. And, you know, typically fear has a very predictable pattern associated with it. When people are scared of things, they tend to avoid those things. And so it came up pretty naturally as we were talking about this. And I asked, how many of you have watched this show? And almost the entire class, 40 plus students, you know, raised their hand and said that they were watching it. Handful of outliers. And so I said, I essentially posed the same question we're asking here. Why? What are you getting from it? I will tell you, the actor is driving a lot of this. A lot of them said specifically that they are interested in him. They think he's really talented and like the way he looks, and so they wanted to check it out. But above and beyond that was really this kind of morbid curiosity piece of I'm intrigued by the topic. I want to know more about him and his life.
And I get the curiosity thing is the part for me that I feel like if I fell into any of those buckets, it's, mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like I'm a fairly naturally curious person, and potentially filling the gaps between what I already knew and how they're approaching the topic. And I will say, in the three episodes I have watched, did learn more, because it's not a topic, because I'm not a true crime fan, because it's not, I don't research serial killers. I knew the name, I knew the general plot points of the story, but I a lot of the details I didn't know. And I will say, I think one of the things I do think is interesting is what we said before in the last segment, is the credit and the acknowledgement of the community that was not listened to, and what an gross oversight that was, and how much could have been, how many people could have been spared had they been listened to. And so I think that part for me is interesting, but it comes, I mean, and it's this show, but it's, I mean, I know that I watched, and wasn't fictional, and it was a documentary, but the Night Stalker documentary on the serial killer in LA. And I don't know, is there a difference between, and this gets into ethics more about than psychology, but like when it's a documentary versus a fictionalized, we're putting a famous, well-liked actor to portray a monster and give him some humanity, because that's also what the show is doing, right? It is depicting him in a way of a broken home, and he had these instincts from a very young child that went unchecked and ignored, and you give it, almost creates empathy or sympathy for someone who probably doesn't deserve any.
Right.
And so is that part of it as well, as like the curiosity of trying to figure out these people and how they could do such things, and identifying with them or softening them?
Mm-hmm. I think it is. I mean, I think that what is... So a colleague of mine teaches a course actually on monsters. It's a first year seminar here that he teaches on various monsters throughout history. He is a biologist, and he brings me in he brings me in to actually talk about about human monsters essentially for one day, right? And so I come in and I just talk about serial killers with them and some of the things we know and don't know. And what is so fascinating, though, is how much students, these are 18-year-olds by and large, how much they already know about this topic, that there is something really driving their interest in this particular topic. And I think it comes with, in some ways, I think some of this is inspired by age, not entirely, but, you know, they're, I think as human beings develop, they become more aware of sort of the real life consequences of this, and it's harder to detach from what really happened. And as you get older, I think you start to realize, like, look, these were people's children and spouses and siblings, and they had people who loved them. I think when you're younger, it's easier to forget all that and enjoy this. So I think that sort of drives some of this. I agree with you. Like, this is not typically, by and large, a genre for me. I am interested in human beings and human behavior, and so I find myself caught up in that side of it. I have a hard time, though, for all of the reasons you mentioned, really engaging in this media.
Brian, I'm wondering, too, if we don't watch some of these things.
I can't hear her. I'm sorry.
I'm not. Is that better?
No.
No. For some reason, you can't hear Jane.
That's very odd.
That is odd.
I'm curious. You can interpret for me. If we watch these, hoping that we will get an answer to why these people do this, to calm ourselves and say there is an explanation for this behavior.
So she's asking if we watch shows like this to try to actually create a calming sense of trying to figure out why people do these things. Either, mm-hmm. as you said, so you can avoid people like this, or just because sometimes as humans, we need an answer. Like, how could this happen?
Yep. I think that is a big part of what we're talking about for many people. It is in some ways, it's like you want to know that this person is an outlier and that there is a very clear explanation for what happened and why they did this thing as a way of feeling safer yourself. I also think that it's, in some ways, it's driven by a desire to have strategies to protect yourself. It's like you can't protect yourself if you don't know what's out there. And so people sort of are motivated by that.
How much have you studied? And stay with me, because I think about when you said monsters and we think about human monsters, I think on one hand, the obvious answer is serial killers, of which there are plenty of documentaries. What was the Mind Hunters? Was that the show that was on Netflix for a little while that was a lot of these people? Mm-hmm. I also think of dictators who were at the head of mass genocides. Is that mm-hmm. a similar profile of person, or are those two very different types of mass murderers?
Yeah, it's really interesting, because I think we run into a lot of definition problems, because there's a lot of, serial killers are anyone who commits multiple homicides, right? And so that could include a lot of people that we don't typically think of as, right? So people who do this for employment, right? As part of their...
assassins.
Assassins, drug cartel, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And I suspect there's more of a link between them and who you're talking about then, because when we think about the sort of stereotypical serial killer that we tend to cover, your Dahmers, your Bundys, your
people who are getting like a psychological thrill out of killing someone and covering it up.
Yeah, those seem to be motivated by very, very, very different patterns of behaviors, even from each other, right? So, I think a lot of people look at someone like Dahmer and they think, like, this is a person who really was likely had a borderline personality disorder or something akin to that. Whereas someone like Bundy was maybe more likely to be antisocial. So there's different patterns of behaviors that might be associated with some of those, depending on who they are.
Well, this is all very interesting. If you have questions, you're free to call in. You're free to text us, 844-967-2789. For the next segment, Dr. Ryan Martin will still be here to talk about our attraction to horrific entertainment. So if you want to join the conversation, please do so. We'll take a break. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. This half hour, we are joined by Dr. Ryan Martin, who's a professor of psychology and an anger researcher at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. And we are talking specifically about the Netflix series on Jeffrey Dahmer that was released in the last week and a half, but more broadly on why this is such a massive genre that gets so many people's interest, whether it's true crime in general, but true crime's almost usually act like documentaries, if I understand it correct. But I guess if this falls under the true crime, even though it's a fictionalized version of a true story. And does that make a difference in how we consume information? Because obviously when we watch, let's say, Jordan Peele's Get Out, right? Mm-hmm. A story that is a fictional story. This is not based on real events, though we it's titillating because there's truths in it that we recognize, unlike in this situation with a script. It's not like it's not a documentary where there was interviews and those interviews were pieced together to tell a story in that kind of art form. This is a script that was based off of real events, but we took liberties because that is how you make a biopic. And do we consume that differently as far as our connection to remembering that these were real people?
Yeah, we do. And this is actually one of the things that makes people's appreciation for Dahmer and for other types of true crime a little more confusing for me, because it's actually, I think, relatively easy to understand why a lot of people enjoy just straight up non-true horror. You know, they like it because it's exciting. There's enthusiasm there. They're able to, psychologically speaking, they're able to convert that excitement into positive feelings. They're able to consistently remember this thing isn't real, right? And that makes it easier for them to find enjoyment in it. In fact, when we ask people ultimately who really like horror when they don't like it, so when does horror go wrong for you? Usually it's too close to home, too felt too real, something like that. So a lot of people who like horror actually don't like really like true gory, crime. Yeah, true crime or documentaries, that sort of thing. And so that makes this a little more unusual. There's actually a really interesting study out there once that, but 2007, where people who don't like horror were asked to watch horror movies, but they did so with the IMDb profiles of the actors on the screen with them. So they were constantly reminded that this was a movie, you know, and just sort of bombarded with the idea that this was a movie. And what they found is that they enjoyed it more than they did when those weren't there. That constant reminder allowed them to disconnect from the media in this way, that they enjoyed it more. So liking horror is oftentimes it's a skill of being able to disconnect from any reality or remember that it's not real. That is, people shouldn't be able to do that with Dahmer, with other types of true crime. You shouldn't be able to disengage from it that way unless you're able to say, this happened in the past, it's not happening now. But even that's probably a little naive.
But isn't it to a certain, I mean, and this is what I feel like the difference, because where we started the conversation at the top of the hour before you joined was more of an ethics conversation as far as Netflix greenlighting this project without consulting with any of the families or any of the people who are more connected to the story. And even, you know, even journalists who covered the story were not consulted, and it was just, we're going to make this. And when you place actors playing real people, doesn't it ultimately invite the when you're viewing it, making that disassociation of like, this isn't real, this is just actors, and actually say, unlike a documentary, and which is pictures and testimony, and versus like, well, this is just like every other movie I see.
Mm-hmm. I do. I mean, I think you're actually, in some ways, you're cutting viewers a little bit of slack there, or you're sort of letting them off the hook a little bit by almost sort of pretending it's not real, or that it's, you know, loosely sort of that the basis is looser versus seeing the actual, like you said, documentary footage of it. I question the ethics around this as well, personally, and not just this, but true crime in general. I think that's one of the reasons why I don't typically engage in it, is because I worry about the exploitive nature of what we're talking about. It makes me really uncomfortable. I'm not able to, and I don't want to be able to do this, to disengage or disconnect from the victims, that I can't watch that without thinking about them and their families and their lives. And I don't want to be able to watch it without thinking of those things. But I suspect that might be a reason why I don't appreciate this when other people do, that they might be better able to do those things.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I don't think it's going away. I think, I still have very mixed feelings of whether or not I want to finish. Now that I've talked about it once, maybe I don't have to finish it, because it was part of, like you said, it's part of the zeitgeist and the curiosity. One, quelling your curiosity as far as learning more about the story, but also if everyone else is watching it, what am I missing out on? And what do I have to watch this to be part of the conversation? But I don't know. I'm not sure if we solved anything as far as, but it is interesting to hear why we do that, especially as at least Jane and I, Brooke just said that she spends more time watching true crime, but it's certainly not something that I'm like, oh, I have to watch this. But it is interesting as far as the viewing habits. I read something recently as far as why there's certain people who have higher anxiety who are more likely to be the type of person who just rewatches the same show again and again and again. And they watch, you know, whether it's The Office or Parks and Rec or these feel good shows, and they know what's going to happen, but it brings them comfort because they know what's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that is, that there's no getting around the idea that there are comfort shows out there that we, you know, and I think that's actually not just predicted by type of people, but stage of life and what's going on and how much stress you might be under at a particular time. There's something to be said for knowing what's going to happen in a world that feels really out of control to you.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking time to spend with us today to explain why we do the things that we do. Ryan Martin is a professor of psychology and an anger researcher at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. You can find him across all social media platforms at Anger Professor. He's a very good follow. That's how we originally met, was on the social medias. But thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thanks for being here, and thanks for doing the great work you do. Love talking to you.
Yep, we'll bring you back soon. All right, well, we're going to take another break, and when we come back from the news, we're going to talk about the correlation between voting and saving the arts. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Being human.